Ladies and gentlemen, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report, coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania. Blustery, cold, wintry. Winter grips the entire nation. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Thank you for being part of our extended family. We really appreciate that. Joe's got some time off, week off, so it's going to be me pulling the train, the Hagman train, in the driver's seat. Got a great program for you lined up this evening. A lot of news to hit, folks. What an incredible news day today. You've got a terror attack in Berlin. You've got an assassination of a Russian ambassador in Ankara, in Turkey. I don't know whether you heard about that. And of course, you've got Trump winning the Electoral College vote today. That was pretty much a given, although there were some issues. There were some issues there. Did you know, would the faithless electors come in and do something, perhaps, to create a constitutional crisis? And we cleared that hurdle handily, mightily. We did. So, that's good. Now, I know that there's, of course, in Pennsylvania, in our home state in Pennsylvania, there was a brief outburst with the electoral during the voting process, but it was nothing major. Now, let's hit this one at a time, because we're really doing news trios. Oh, and by the way, okay, if you go to HagmanReport.com, which is our home base, folks, HagmanReport.com, that's our home base. Go there. There are a number of pressing articles that address a number of things. I want to call your attention to one in particular, and we're going to be hitting this in a little bit. This is written by Sergeant Tim, of course. If you he's a senior editor of Outlaw Patriot News, an independent contributor to the Hagman Report, and I would really recommend everyone to follow his writing. All right. So, his news articles, although he's a contributor at Hagman Report, can be found at his website, Outlaw Patriot News. All right. But having said that, and we're going to be getting into this, because this is so important right now, in my estimation, the fake news, and you may be getting tired of hearing about it. I know I'm certainly tired of reading about it and researching it. It's important, though. It's important that we all understand how we are being gamed. We know we're being gamed, and it's important for all of us to understand how and what we can do about it, what we need to do about it. At the bottom of the hour, next segment, Brittany Pettibone is going to be joining us to talk about this very issue. But again, this Sergeant Tim addresses the ghost of fake news past, and of course brings up Amber Lyon, who blew the whistle on CNN fake news quite some time ago. Folks, important to understand the historical. It's important to understand, at least in my view right now, it is critical that we look at the landscape, not just this moment in time, but how we got here. And by doing so, we'll find the trajectory as to where we're headed. It's very disconcerting, because of the fake news operation, and I'll call it an operation. It's by those who control the news, will be making this an issue, and actually doing a lot, for example, to censor us, censor InfoWars, censor any of the conservative Christian voices out there. So this is extremely important, but we have to approach this like anything else. We have to look at this. What do we need to do about this? Let's identify the problem. Let's work the problem together, and we can prevail by doing so. So, really, where do we start? Well, let's start with the easy issues. Well, by the way, in the fake news category, and when we're talking about that, what we really need everyone to do is, and it doesn't matter which sites you prefer to get your news from. Hopefully it is from the independent media. It's not one of the ABC, NBC, CBS. No, it should be from the independent media, because you're not going to get the real story, obviously, at the other sites, at the media, mainstream media sites. So here's what we ask everyone to do. If you would kindly do this, because this will unify, I believe this will unify the whole body of the independent media in such a way where they'll have to resort to different tactics. We're playing a game of three-dimensional chess here, or actually we have a game of three-dimensional chess. The war has been waged upon us by the globalists and by the globalist media. So what can we do about it? Everyone, please, number one, subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you haven't done it, do it today. Do it right now. Do it. Just do it. Do it. Do it. And any other independent news channel you feel is worth or delivers the news, subscribe, because that raises the visibility. Because you see what's taking place here, how YouTube is censoring our channel and others. First of all, they're hiding the real numbers, which is fine. We can live with that. I can live with that. I don't really care what the numbers show. I know the back end numbers, because you can go into the back end and see the back end numbers. The front end numbers are not even close to that. Anyway, so I know what we pull in terms of numbers. And frankly, and this is, I'm not saying this to boast or to be boastful, but our numbers they surpass, at times, and many shows, they surpass MSNBC. When you calculate all of the venues and add the numbers up, a typical night of viewer and listenership on the Hagmann Report surpasses the numbers on MSNBC. You might think, well, gee whiz, you know, Nick at Night does that. Well, yeah, true. I mean, Eric the Tech is actually the guy, you know, he's the one over with Nick at Night. In fact, he watches Nick at Night. Now, anyway, he's sitting there at his space station. Have you seen that? Have you seen the space station that he sits at? Anyway, I'm not allowed anywhere near it because, you know, there's buttons and switches, and if I turn one, it's just, you know, I get spanked. And anyway, I get yelled at. He makes me cry. And then I have to go to my safe space, you know, and I have to get my blanket and binky and, anyway, counseling, you know, the whole drill. So subscribe to our YouTube channel. And again, any YouTube channel or any website, whatever, that you feel is worth the particular time to subscribe. Because that does, it changes the dynamics of the numbers. I'm not going to get into the back end of things, but it does. It simply does. So do that. That's one way. But we're going to be talking about more about that later. And don't forget, folks, we broadcast nightly, Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Global Star Radio Network. If anything ever goes down, one thing is certain, the Global Star Radio Network will always, always, always carry us. They're like 24/7. They got their own little satellite, and, you know, Todd's back there with, he's gotten the satellite. Anyway. So, and of course, BTR, Blog Talk Radio, we're also simulcast there as well. Nice folks, there indeed. So, and the archives are present at both places, BTR as well as Global Star. So, but subscribe. And also, subscribe to our Twitter feed. I have Douglas Hagmann, okay, at Hagmann PI, which is Hagmann, HAGMANNPI, my personal Twitter, and Facebook as well. As much as we don't like that whole system, we have to play on the we have to fight on the battlefield in order to take the fight to them. As I believe, as conservative Christians with values, we have to stand tall, stand up to them, and of course, in some instances, they make the rules. So we can play by the rules, but we can also take the fight to them, metaphorically speaking, fight. So that's that. But the first issue here is Donald Trump wins Electoral College. Attempts to cause rebellion turn to farce, as reported by the overseas media, with Democrats deserting Hillary. And I thought this is funny too. It's interesting because calls for Electoral College members to vote your conscience have indeed paid off, but not in Hillary's favor. No. The so-called Hamilton electors, and I think that's a bad name for them. I think they're just faithless electors, period. They were Democrats. They chose to vote for moderate Republicans like Kasich or Colin Powell as opposed to Hillary Clinton. And I think that's pretty funny, actually. Pretty humorous. And they had hoped that Republicans would follow suit, and of course they didn't. By mid-afternoon today, Trump had the votes needed. And actually, Texas put him over the edge. And of course, if you watch the mainstream media or C-SPAN, I had C-SPAN running in the office, and you talk about exciting. It's like watching paint dry. But Bill Clinton was a member of the New York's Electoral College and was in Albany to cast a vote, obviously, for Hillary. Four faithless electors cast votes in Washington State, not for Clinton, while attempts were made in Maine, Colorado, and Minnesota. And again, we had some whines, cries, and sobs, in the Pennsylvania State House as well. But he officially crossed the line to 270 votes with electors in Texas casting a ballot for Trump for him shortly before 5:30 Eastern time today. So that's handily done. No more, hopefully no more harassment of the electors and members of the Electoral College. And it's interesting because that was a real deal. I mean, these people were getting a lot of hate mail, death threats, and harassment. I just find it amazing. And I don't know, I don't want to go too far off on a tangent here, but you speak about harassment. Folks, the members of the independent media are being harassed in ways I cannot tell you how. I've been advised not to tell you how we as members of the alternative media independent media are being harassed and being threatened. What we're going through, and it's not just me or us. Steve Quayle, Tom Horn, Rick Wiles, Dave Hodges. If you knew, and again, for reasons of security, for legal reasons, and for practical reasons, we can't tell you what is going on. But trust me when I tell you that there is a lot going on behind the scenes with respect to the harassment of the independent media. They want to shut us down. They want to see us go away. And this is a concerted effort among many of the, let's just say it this way. Let me just say it this way. Things are not as they appear out there. So you might look at someone who has some obscure blog somewhere and just typing away saying, oh, Hagman, he's an idiot. Which, okay, that's fine. Or Hodges, he's not giving right information, or he's disinformation, or whatever, Alex Jones, or whoever the target might be. And you look at that and say, well, who are they to even make those claims? But when you start, and this is something that you don't have to do, and I wouldn't do it, but when you start looking at who's behind this, and you start seeing the organization, for example, that one little blog, yeah, it looks like a little blog, but when you start understanding the ownership and operation that that is attached to, you're going to see. You are going to see that the connections run much deeper. And when you follow the connections, and like you follow evidence, you let the evidence direct the investigation, of course, as we do, and you see that, wait a minute, there are ties to this person and that person, and then all of a sudden, it's not the degrees of separation from Kevin Bacon, it's much more intimate than that. And that's something that I really want to drive home, because things are not as they appear. And there are also, I had spoken and written about the paid Obama people. Remember that about 2-3 years ago, where there were people that were on this Obama cyber team, cyber warriors. And I was one of the first to write about this, and my inside source from DHS had told me about this. Well, those numbers have grown exponentially. I mean, grown tremendously. And it is not, now obviously it's not against just us, it's against the independent media, but what is taking place is they have infiltrated comments. You know how when an article is posted, for example, on a site like Reddit, or, I mean, you just name the site that accepts comments, what happens is they will go in and capture, divert the conversation or the thread, and then assail the messenger. Much like what happened, and I need to mention this even before we go further, I need to mention this too. When we had Mike Zullo and Carl Gallops on Friday, if you haven't heard that program, what we did was we isolated the 2 hours that they were on, and it's up on the official Hagmann Report YouTube channel, as well as it's linked off of our homepage on HagmannReport.com. And I had written, I had spent hours, and I mean hours, going, just thumbing through material that is not public information yet, about the document. And what people are not really understanding here, and if I can really address this, because I've gotten emails saying, well, this is old news, it's time to move on. All right. If it was one person saying that, I could understand that. Or what difference does it make at this point about the birth certificate document of Barack Hussein Obama? Because don't forget now, in just 33 or 32 days, we're going to have a brand new president in office. Well, a couple of things I do want to mention about that show on Friday, and please go back and share it with your friends. It's extremely important because, first of all, 5 years of investigative research and investigation by Mike Zullo, who is a former Bergen County detective, cold case posse, working for Sheriff Joe Arpaio, who, by the way, is just despite his age, I mean, he's a keen guy, okay, in terms of mental acuity and investigative prowess. This guy is unbelievable. And so is Mike Zullo. And so is Carl Gallops, too. Well, this makes a world, I mean, this is a huge deal. This is not something that should be just, you know, shoved off and say, well, it doesn't matter anyway. Or what are they going to do about it anyway? I noticed when my article was posted on Sunday at Canada Free Press, kind of an obnoxious, comment about, well, nothing's going to happen, it's all BS and so on, from a man who apparently, I don't know what dog, if he's got a dog in this race or what, doesn't think that it's important. But here's the thing. This is not about where Obama was born, going back to Friday. Now, this is not where he was born. This is not about his parental lineage. It has nothing to do with anything. But somebody tampered with a federal identifying document, a federal identification document of the alleged president of the United States. Somebody had knowingly and wittingly attempted to defraud every American voter, every citizen of America, by posting this particular document on whitehouse.gov. Now, if that would be you or I, we'd be long in prison by now. Not jail, but prison. And the charges would be, we'd be charged, obviously. So, this was done with the intent to defraud. Again, this is not about anything else but altering a document, taking a document, posting it on an official government website, the highest government website in the country, and passing it off as the original. And what a lot of people are not understanding with this, and I probably should have made this point a little bit clearer, is when Mike Zillow was talking about the information in on the certificate, the state of Hawaii saying, for example, that they're certifying that some of the information on the certificate is accurate. You know, you can get, well, what has happened, and I'll just apply it to Obama, what had happened. This is the supposition based on investigative research and reasonable speculation. It's reasoned speculation, but it's pretty good. Obama's original certificate of live birth or original birth certificate was amended. And that amended certificate was held out and still is being held as the original certificate of live birth. Hawaii statutes allows for that. That's a big deal, number one. But number two, whoever perpetrated this crime, and I'm fairly certain I've got a pretty good idea who all is involved in this, or at least most of the major players, are still in positions of authority and still can make an impact within the executive branch. Think about that. So they must be held accountable for their actions. And again, that ties into the fake news, because this is being pushed off as fake news, which is not fake news. But anyway. So there's that. All right. More is coming. I'm writing more on that. I just wrote the introduction on, it appeared on Sunday on our website, HagmanReport.com, and again, freepress.com, where you can comment. But more is coming to explain how and why. And a lot of people don't understand either. Well, why now, after 5 years? You already had a couple of press conferences at Mike and Sheriff Joe and all this, and as I was speaking to Mike and others. Well, the why now is, yeah, there was evidence, but there was evidence. It's like, 100%, pretty much how it happened, but there were a few unanswered questions. Well, those questions were finally answered in the final weeks before the press conference. So that's why. All right. Then, of course, you've got, where'd it go here? I just had it. You had the, assassination of the Turkish ambassador. We're going to be talking about this in hour two. Or the Russian ambassador in Ankara, Turkey. We're going to be talking about this in hour two. This is big news, and this is reminiscent, perhaps, or it could be analogous to, for example, the assassination of the Archduke Ferdinand in 1914. And I had sent that out by Twitter, and I just I thought it was pretty interesting. And I do believe that this is a provocation that's going to lead to other changes in the Middle East, other power changes in the Middle East. I do believe that Russia and Turkey is about ready to get smacked in a bad way. And I think Trump is probably correct. In my view, I'm not a geopolitical analyst. I don't know, but I'll tell you something. With Turkey and NATO, some say, well, wait a minute. If something happens, if Russia attacks Turkey, are we not as a country responsible through the NATO pact to defend Turkey? Well, not within, not in, in a case like this, it's pretty clear because this is not a an attack, we'll say, by a state actor. At least that's what they're saying. But the motive behind, you're not hearing the proper motive behind this assassination. This is a provocation. This is to draw, and this has the fingerprints, at least in my view, of the Obama slash Hillary State Department CIA type of operation. I'm not saying they did it. I'm just saying this is the type of actions of the Hillary Obama CIA State Department type of activity. And there's more to this assassination than meets the eye. That's really a problem. And of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't tell you that, you know, the left, they've got this war on Christmas, and I'm just gonna, 30 seconds on this. Did you see this Washington Post? Virgin Mary offends rape victim by her purity. You've got this absolutely incredible, social justice warrior, mental, in my view, I have to say this, in my opinion, a mental case by the name of Ruth Everhart says that, hey, you know what? She is victimized by the Virgin Mary, by her purity. In fact, an article in the Washington Post, "Our culture of purity celebrates a Virgin Mary and as a rape victim, that hurts me." You talk about a bunch of crap. Ruth Everhart, whiner extraordinaire. We'll be right back, folks. Stay right where you're at. Ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagmann and the Hagmann Report. Boy, we've got a treat for you. Brittany Pettibone is with us, is joining us, has agreed to join us and take time out of her schedule, busy schedule. She always has great information. And if you haven't, if you don't know Brittany Pettibone, folks, you've got to follow her on Twitter. And it should be on your screen. If not, it will be shortly, her Twitter, where you can follow her. And she'll give it to you. As well, verbally. Folks, before we get to Brittany, I just want to tell you, Minuteman Rocket Stove. You know, go to MinutemanStove.com, MinutemanStove.com, because in these times that we're living right now, it makes sense to have a suitable, sustainable backup method for cooking, for heating, whatever. We all need a way to cook and a method to process water. Well, a Minuteman Rocket Stove gives you both. A disruption in the power supply or fuel distribution is going to put most people out of business or cause at least serious inconvenience to all of us. A Minuteman Rocket Stove can provide your family or group the perfect solution. This is the best rocket stove on the market. Now, if you don't know what a rocket stove is, like I didn't before, It's an ammo can that's fashioned into a stove, and it works wonders. It's a small, lightweight, wood-burning, and it's every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. With decent wood, it's smokeless and fully self-contained for a clean storage and transport. Because the Minuteman is so efficient, it cuts down your wood gathering and processing chores to just a tenth of what it would be. Don't rely on gas or fuel stoves. Eventually, the supply is going to run out, and you're going to be, well, just left with nothing. So this is easy to use, easy to, it's easy. It's easy. It's a great product. It's a handmade. They're all handmade in the United States. In fact, in North Carolina, and they're extremely rugged. The stoves come with a 2-year warranty, which no one has tested the 2-year warranty. They don't need to. Folks, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com. Brittany Pettibone is our guest this segment. Brittany, goodness, it's great to see you, and our listeners are just thankful that you've agreed to come on again and talk about things, including but not limited to, of course, what's going on with Pizzagate. I'm going to turn you loose on that. What's been going on with this?
So what's been going on, it was shortly after the last time I was on, the mainstream media started reporting heavily on Pizzagate, although all of them, all of the mainstream media outlets who reported on it, they they wouldn't refute any of the, you know, WikiLeaks emails that we had uncovered that were, you know, the basis of the entire investigation. They also, they would never include any Instagram photos. It was basically, they would all report on it just to say, it's debunked, it's fake news. You know, the whole fake news phenomenon arose at the exact time that Pizzagate was at its height as well. So a lot of mainstream medias were just attacking all of the, you know, Pizzagate investigators. A lot of them were receiving harassment. I know one of the most was Tara from Reality Calls, and then David Seaman, they've both been doing great work on this. So as for myself, I don't have a YouTube channel, but I know that they were taking the brunt of the heat for this. I have, you know, taken a lot on Twitter, but it's different. It's easier because I can just block them. But so a lot of people, the aftermath of this was a lot of investigators were kind of going underground. Like, it's still going on, the investigation, but they're doing, you know, research privately with the intent to release it closer to when Donald Trump is inaugurated, closer to his inauguration, or even after, right when he gets into office. So we'll see. But yes, I do know. I've actually been in contact with some of the most reliable and professional and accurate investigators who I found on the internet. All of them are anonymous, but they've been publishing the best information that I've seen on Pizzagate. So I've connected with them, and we're all working privately at the moment.
Well,
so.
Yeah, I mean, you're out there, your name, your face, you're out there. And of course, you've got the private citizen investigators and journalists who are doing the job that the media won't, the mainstream corporate media won't. And obviously, there is a backlash. But now there's been a lot of confusion over the veracity of the information. You know, I've seen so much misinformation and disinformation about this issue. I guess if we were in a courtroom, and I spent a lot of time in court in my work, and 99% of it's boring, but you know, there's a 1% that really brings home the evidence. Let me ask you this. Podesta emails, when this first broke October 3rd, and there was the Podesta emails were reviewed, and of course the coding, so to speak, was found. That's still, I mean, that's legitimate. That has not been debunked. That's in place still. Is that correct? I mean, that's
yes,
up
that's
for real thing.
Yes, the Podesta emails, they're all verified as authentic.
Okay. And then you've got the, and I'm kind of going at this one step at a time. And in fact, maybe it might be better for you if you can just go one step at a time to tell us what we know as opposed to anything else. I mean, what do we know that's absolutely 100%? Whether it's about Elefantis, whether it's about Brock, the Comet Pizza, wherever you want to go, what do we know for sure that is unassailable, that we can take to the bank or take to, you know, take to for an investigative standard?
Yeah, well, there's quite a lot, actually, but you know, more than I could go through in a few minutes. But
okay,
I would say the best place to start is the Podesta emails, because there are so many emails that include these keywords, you know, pizza and Domino's and handkerchief, you know, and when you read the emails, you know that they are talking about you know, that it's code for something. And I know Tara from Reality Calls verified that a lot of these, from the dark web, that a lot of these keywords, that we were right about them. So, because she found another listing on the dark web, and she made a video on that, actually. But from there is just where you start. And then we know that James Elefantis, all of his Instagram photos, they are verified as legitimate.
Okay.
And including, you know, his profile picture being a picture of Emperor Hadrian's 13-year-old lover, Antonius. You know, like, those things are all verified. The reason we're seeing so much misinformation now is because that is part of the game. You know, they've infiltrated vote.co, which is where the investigation was moved to, and a lot of, you know, correct the record trolls are downvoting all of the relevant information and then publishing deliberately false information in order to mislead the investigation and to discredit it. because there are so many people who are extremely gullible that, you know, won't check facts or won't check them in the right way. And, you know, then it's led astray. But yeah, it's also the fact that I know some people on Twitter have told me, I've heard that they've been banned for using the Pizzagate hashtag. These are smaller accounts.
Right.
Or I only posted once on Facebook about Pizzagate on my entire timeline. And I have never before had Facebook come in. What they did is they said, we've detected spam on your timeline. And so they said, can you let us know if this is spam or not? I said, this isn't spam. I want this on my timeline. And they hid it anyway. So,
wow.
You know, no one see it anymore. So they're just coming in and trying to wipe it from the internet. And I mean, there's already a Wikipedia page on it. It's called Pizzagate, the Conspiracy Theory. And they mention InfoWars, the Vigilant Citizen. And then they mention Mike Cernovich and myself as being alt-right activists, which we've never identified as alt. You know, I've never identified as alt-right, but they're trying to label every Pizzagate investigator as a homophobic white supremacist who belongs to the alt-right. So, but that's no way true. They're from both sides. There are plenty of Hillary supporters investigating this as well. It's, you know, plenty of liberals, you know, Bernie supporters, everyone. We're all in this together in a sense. They're just trying to paint it that way, and we have to, you know, let people know that that's not what it is.
Okay. All right. Wow. Well, this is out of order, but I'm going to ask you this question. I was on with Alex Jones when he, and I didn't know he was going to do this. He brought on to the program. It was the last half hour that I was on with him. He asked me to ride shotgun with him, and we were sitting there together, and he brought on there was a witness. In fact, it was an Islamic attorney who he brought on, and supposedly a witness to this gun attack, at Comet Pizza. And, you know, had I had the opportunity, my mic was shut off, and I wanted to kind of jump in there. And I mean, it wasn't Alex's fault. It was just a kind of a, it kind of took me by surprise, but, it just seemed so bizarre. That whole thing, Brittany, was just, I just wanted to have like 5 minutes of uninterrupted time with him because I had so many questions and I was going to hit him, you know, with the questions. What do you make of that incident that happened at Comet Pizza? On that day, that when that guy went in with a gun and supposedly shot something.
Yes, I mean, it's still foggy. There are people who believe that, you know, he, you know, really out of concern went there because he had been misled into believing that the Pizzagate researchers believed that the entire operation was, you know, or alleged operation was going on in the basement of Comet Ping Pong. So it could have been that.
Okay.
Then there's the people who believe that, you know, it was a false flag as, you know, the man was a former out of work actor. And then I know with the attorney's testimony, or his interview, I know he mentioned that he saw the gunman carrying a shotgun. Although I believe it wasn't a shotgun, although he did have a shotgun in the car.
Right.
So he was carrying different guns. It was just so there were some, there were some discrepancies with his interview, his testimony. So it's still that you know, the whole gunman thing, it's still not, there are no definitive answers there yet. But people I know are still looking. So hopefully, you know, we can get that story straight, because that was pretty much what the mainstream media used to muzzle Pizzagate, was that incident. So it's very important for us to find out what really happened.
Yeah, okay, are you saying, and that's a good point, are you saying that the gun incident is what was used as the springboard to muzzle the Pizzagate situation, not the witness testimony, right? It was just the incident itself.
Yeah, I think all of it together. I remember it happened on a Sunday, and, you know, from then on, it was just the mainstream media. Everyone was writing articles and, you know, coming down on it, you know, and people are, you know, I remember reading some comments from, you know, mainstream media articles, like the Washington Post included me in one, and people are like, oh, they should lock up the investigators. They should go to prison. This should be criminalized, you know. And, you know, just getting very rabid about it. You know, so, you know, there are some people in this investigation who we have to be careful who we associate with, because they'll completely accuse, you know, this is 100% you know, for certain, and they're all pedophiles, and, you know, we have to imprison them, you know, now they just get too extreme and emotional about it, and we need to make sure we step back. We always use the word alleged, like in no way incite or encourage any kind of harassment or violence towards James Elefantis or anyone else who may be implicated. But so it's just, you know, on our side as well, we need to make sure that everyone is under control. But then again, there are some people who will pose as investigators and act crazy in order to discredit the investigation again. Like, they're using so many tactics against us. So we just have to, you know, at this point, it's been better because we've been researching more privately, and hopefully we can get, you know, accumulate a lot more great information by the time that Trump is in office.
And that's one thing that the reason, folks, that I really like Brittany Pettibone, Tara from Reality Calls, Andrew Kerr on the periphery, working the Media Matters for America aspect of things, and David Brock, because you have a very measured approach to things, as opposed to people that just go out and make wild accusations, and then of course contribute to the mania that's not right for this. And I appreciate your measured approach to things and your logic and reasoned approach, but your investigative material and investigative work is right on the money. So I just want to say thank you for that. And folks, that's the reason why we have her here, because she's one of the best, in my view. And I've looked at, I mean, you could see them on Reddit, or before on Reddit and other places that, you know, it's just, but yeah, you're exactly right. Okay. But how do you see this playing out? I know we don't have a crystal ball. You don't have a crystal ball, but Brittany, how do you see this playing out with respect specifically to this Pizzagate situation?
Well, a lot of us are counting on more leaks. So we're hoping that WikiLeaks will drop some more, you know, in the near future that will help, because those, you know, those are what give us the direction. And, you know, as they come out, we already know that they're legitimate as they, you know, as they drop. And it's not so much about fact checking, because, you know, WikiLeaks has like a really clean record and they're authentic. So, you know, I've heard some talk. I know Kim.com mentioned after the inauguration there was going to be more leaks in regards to the Clinton Foundation, so we'll see what happens there. And then if WikiLeaks puts more out, that will, you know, rekindle this whole investigation, you know, because we have, you know, a lot now, and we built so much off of it, but it would be, you know, nice to get more, because we know, you know, in our sense now, we know how large this investigation is. We had no idea at first. It kind of just, if you went down the rabbit hole, it got humongous, way bigger than any of us could have imagined. So those will contribute tremendously to you know, moving this forward, most definitely. So that's what I'm hoping.
Okay. I didn't mean to cut you off there. Okay. What about the entire fake news slash censorship of us, you and I, of the people out there who represent the independent media? Obviously, you got sanctioned at Facebook. How do we fight this?
I think we fight it by just keep, you know, doing what we're doing. I know that they are trying, they're doing it, I think, for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's because they were 100% completely discredited during the election cycle, the mainstream media. And this is almost, we've seen their track record of them, you know, psychologically projecting their own faults onto us. That's what, it's psychological projection. That's what they do. So, but it's also the internet, you know, like Facebook and Twitter and stuff, it used to be more about them being able to get information from us.
Right.
Now turning that on them, and they're seeing the power that we have using the tools that they built. And, you know, it's reached a point where we're powerful enough to actually contest them.
That's
and
great.
Sway people's opinions. So that's why they're realizing how dangerous it is, and they're trying to silence us and discredit us all as fake news. You know, but actually, I believe it dropped last night, but the CNN just reported that, you know, the trust in the mainstream media has dropped below 10%, so they're losing.
Oh, yeah, they are. Yeah, actually they are. And folks, meet the new Amber Lyon, perhaps. You know, the, I shouldn't say that. I mean, she's, you know, the, or maybe that's not, you know, the person ahead of the curve with respect to fighting the, operation that's against us on the fake news. And it's, Brittany, it's you and people like you who are going to be at, well, who are at the tip of the spear, but also going to be responsible for really changing the course, in my view, of history, because you've got a lot of people who are looking to you within your demographic and saying, wow, you know, I got to follow her, and you know, it's a great work product that you put out. So I commend you for that. I'm a little bit at this point. I'm not sure I even know what to ask at this point. We've got about 10 minutes left here together. What do you want to? What do you think is important to talk about here? We just had Trump win the Electoral College, of course, today, which, you know, wasn't an issue. What do you think we should be focused on from this point forward? And by the way, folks, Brittany's going to join us with Tara on the 29th, and it's going to be a great program. I'm looking forward to that. So, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say so much happened today. It was insane. There was the terrorist attack in Berlin, and I actually have a very close friend who lives in Berlin who was at that same Christmas market where it happened just a few days ago, and one of her friends was actually there while it happened, but, you know, thank God she's safe. But it was very interesting to monitor that as it happened in regards to how the mainstream media handled it, as none of them were reporting that it was a terrorist attack, even though the Berlin police had confirmed it, mm-hmm. You know, very early on. So I don't know what's going to happen there. The Germans, you know, Germany as a whole, I don't know, you know, how many of them are aware of the fact that it's such a large threat, and if they don't combat it soon, that, you know, they very well, you know, soon, you know, within a decade or maybe even less, can lose their country. I don't know how long it's going to take, but I think they need to start taking this seriously. You know, yeah, there's a lot that happened then. Also, the Russian ambassador to Turkey was assassinated this morning. There's so much happened today. I mean, Nicole and I woke up, you know, excited to share that we had, that our book had won, you know, a pretty prestigious award. And then, like, you know, we saw the news. We're like, oh, my gosh, this is insane. So we were kind of hesitant almost to share it because it seemed wrong to be talking about that at this time. Yes, but today was definitely insane. There's still a lot going on.
Well, you know what, Brittany, let me stop you right there because this is no small deal. I really want you to share with the audience about your book, and Brittany and her sister are very talented writers. You should be very proud, and you want, your book has won an award. Please tell the audience about it because I think you've got a lot to be proud about.
Yeah, it's really wonderful because it's from Kirkus Reviews, who is known to be so brutal. You know, with books, they'll just tear them apart. So we were so, you know, pretty nervous when we first submitted our book to them, but they actually ended up giving us a starred review, and then they chose our book as one of the best indie books of 2016. And we actually knew this 3 months ago, but they informed everyone, and then they were putting it in magazines and stuff like that. So we couldn't announce it till today. So we had to wait and do it today. And yeah, we're so happy and so excited because Kirkus is one of the big ones.
Sure.
It's going to be in a magazine and then go out to like all the publishers and literary agents in the industry and stuff like that. So yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful award to have. And we're very happy. Really happy.
Congratulations. You and your sister, Nicole. And of course, more information about Brittany and Nicole's book, Hatred Day, Verdict Day. tspettibone.com. That's tspettibone.com. I just want to make sure that we got that in there because I think that's just a fantastic accomplishment and you are to be congratulated for sure. So thank you for sharing that with our audience. And folks, visit tspettibone.com and for information about the book, buy their book. Plural. All right. You got to keep her in coffee and you know, you get buy her book, just buy her book, support her work. Oh my goodness! And how can people follow you on Twitter too? It's Britt Pettibone, right?
Yes, at Britt Pettibone.
Okay, good. All right. Now that we got that out of the way, and we got about 4 minutes left here, Yeah, what are you thinking about this assassination over in Russia, the Russian ambassador in Ankara, Turkey? What are you thinking about this? Because I know you followed it.
Yeah, I was following that. I was following the Berlin War, but this, I know it's, you know, it's kind of a result of the fate, you know, the false propaganda being spun in Aleppo. You know, a lot of people were saying, you know, this could be, it could have been, you know, potentially done as a way to trigger, you know, World War III. I mean, we know that that's what they want. They want war with Russia. But then I know Putin made a statement, and I have, it's not translated into English yet, but I have a Russian friend who helped, let me know what he said. Essentially, he said that what they're going to do is just, it's going to help. All it's done is made them strengthen the fight against terrorism. So he's not reacting in a way that's, you know.
Well, really, I think the attack, obviously the assassination and then the Berlin attack, I think obviously there's some connection there, maybe not direct, but in the larger sense of the terrorist threat that we face, there's connectivity there. And I do believe that that's an outgrowth of the Obama / Clinton State Department / CIA operations in the Middle East. But you said you were following more about Berlin. What happened in Berlin? And we're praying for the victims there, but what took place there? A bus?
Yeah, I believe it was a truck hijacked from a Polish driver who, I believe, some people were trying to blame it on him at first, but his car was actually hijacked by an Islamic man, a Muslim man. ISIS did take responsibility officially for the attack. And so he plowed through the crowd, and I believe 9 people were murdered, and 50, at least 50 or maybe more were injured. It was absolutely horrible, but it's just, it's treated like this problem, which we keep seeing over and over again, you know, even in the U.S., it's treated so, you know, it's like neutral, you know, people's reaction to it. It's like, oh, you know, the same hashtags come out, you know, pray for Berlin, pray for Orlando, pray for San Bernardino, you know, but there's never any action taken, any more steps, you know, to combat it. It's just going to keep happening, you know, unless we actually make an effort. And, you know, so, I mean, as it happens now, it's almost like it's the new normal and everyone's like, oh, another one. You know, that's almost, it's been normalized to a point, and that's a really horrible thing, you know.
Well, you're right on the money, and you're too young, but I remember 1985, for example, seeing that hijacking, and of course the Achille Laurel, the hijacking of the plane, I can't remember the flight, but threw a sailor on the tarmac, shot the sailor. It was horrible, and that was kind of an introduction, in a sense, after the hostage crisis in Iran, but seeing that whole Islamic threat develop back then. Brittany, we're at the end of the segment, but congratulations, number one, on the Kirkus Review. Tremendous job. And look forward to seeing you back. And, of course, folks, follow Brittany Pettibone at Britt Pettibone on Twitter and support this young lady's work. She's doing a great job. However, you can buy their book, enjoy that as well. Thank you so much. And if I don't talk to you before, have a very blessed Christmas.
You as well. Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
All right. God bless. Bye. That was Brittany Pettibone. What a fantastic researcher. And she's got some great stuff. We're going to be right back. Stay right where you're at.